Did Octavia Butler predict the future? In her 1993 dystopian novel, Parable of the Sower, Octavia Butler offers eerie parallels between our present and a future she envisioned 27 years ago. The story traces a Black woman's journey through a world in the grips of economic and political upheaval as she creates a religion that will span the stars. Heralded as an Afrofuturist icon, Butler came up as one of the few Black female voices in the overwhelmingly white and male realm of science fiction literature. Today, her stories are finding new life as graphic novels created by Damian Duffy and John Jennings. I'm WYPR producer Sienna Greaves. Cultural anthropologist Dr. Stanford Carpenter and I spoke with the comic creators about adapting Octavia Butler's novels. Hi, Stanford.
Hi, Sienna.
What do you think is behind the resurgence in the popularity of Octavia Butler's work?
I think she checks multiple boxes. For Black audiences, it's about seeing themselves in her stories. For white audiences, it's about seeing something different. She has an uncanny ability to latch onto topics that have a timeless and prophetic quality. Add to all of this the current interest in Afrofuturism, and you've cobbled together what amounts to mass appeal.
Parable of the Sower is Duffy and Jennings' latest Octavia Butler adaptation. In 2017, they adapted her time travel saga, Kindred. Tell me about that.
Kindred tells the story of a Black woman who's thrust back in time to a plantation where she's forced to live the life of her enslaved ancestor.
Yeah, and that's a recurring theme. Octavia Butler wrote about Black women who survive in the face of catastrophic situations. She creates worlds where Black women are so powerful, they can bend time and space, they create religions that guide humanity into the future.
Yeah, and ultimately, Butler's work centers Black women and the complexities of African-American kinship. In Kindred, we have the dilemma of being related to your enslaver and knowing that you have to protect him to ensure your future survival. Parable of the Sower opens with the destruction of a Black family and documents the heroine's escape as she creates a new family and a religion that reimagines identity and community. What I love so much about Butler's work is how she embraces the horror and trauma associated with being Black and being a woman in America without fully succumbing to it. Let's listen in on our conversation with Damian Duffy and John Jennings.
So John, Damian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
So how did you first come to Octavia Butler's work?
The first time I came across Octavia Butler's work was via her novel Wild Seed, which is about these two ancient African, I guess, immortal beings in kind of conflict. You know, it's a really interesting conversation about like gender and power, you know, and it takes place over a period of like generations. And so that was the first time I came to work. This must have been like the early 2000s. I didn't read Kindred first. I read Wild Seed first, and I just fell in love with the work. Only like a few years before she passed away, actually. So that was my first introduction to Octavia Butler's work.
I came out to Butler's work. It was probably 2000, maybe, something like that. And Kindred was the first Octavia Butler novel I read. I was in a creative writing class, and I'd written something in like a first-person voice. And Kindred is also in a first-person voice. So the professor, you know, just suggested I read that. So, you know, I just went right away, got the book out of the library, not knowing at all what it's about. If you go into Kindred not knowing what the story is, you don't actually realize the main character is African-American until about 30 pages in, right at the same moment that she realizes she's time-traveled back to a slave plantation. So it was this genius bit of writing that made you feel the stakes of a story at the exact same time the character did, that really made you empathize with the character. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the first novels I read in a single sitting, because I read really slow.
You've adapted Kindred and now Parable of the Sower. What kind of pressure did you feel going into these projects?
All the pressure would be, and not like it was put on anyone other than, you know, ourselves. And but I've often said that while I was writing Kindred, I felt as though Butler's spirit was over me, just shaking her head like, no, white boy, you're messing this up. Like, don't do this. Because she is so beloved by her fans.
Mm-hmm.
And we were saying this yesterday, John, how it's kind of like the Bayhive, like Beyonce's fans. They're like as rabid a fan base, but they all have PhDs.
Yeah. It's pretty hilarious. I mean, no, the amount of pressure is like indescribable, you know, and, you know, we had some things jumping off with editorial at first that kind of really disrupted the creative process. We didn't have as much time to finish the book as we started with. Yeah, so there was a lot of pressure, and it was a lot of really crazy deadlines, and I hurt my shoulder drawing it. But it did change the way that I thought about, like, how I make comics, though, and I had to figure out different systems to get larger projects done. So in some ways, it was kind of a blessing that that happened, but this is the first time her work has been visualized in a graphic form like that, really. I mean, a graphic novel, and yeah. And
visualized in any form.
Yes, well, that's true. Yeah. Visualized in any form.
And it works. It works really, really well. Why do you think Octavia's stories are so translatable in that way between mediums?
I mean, I think, especially for this historical moment, Octavia Butler's work is perfectly situated for comics and graphic novels because it's a time where graphic novels are coming more to the fore of mainstream audiences, bookstore audiences, and are being allowed in the sense like stories are being published that allow diverse voices, diverse creators, diverse subject matters in a way that hasn't really been true for comics in the United States.
The other thing too is like a lot of ways that she describes, you know, scenery and people is very terse and very direct. And I think a lot of the language that she uses translates very well into graphic illustration as well. So there's, you know, she's just a really great storyteller, and there is something very meticulous and structured that I think is translated really well in the comics.
And also, I mean, her prose style has been called terse, mm-hmm. which is kind of perfect for comics pages where that's right. You have to use text sparingly to leave room for the images. So I think that from a formal aspect is definitely part of what at least has helped us find a foothold and figure out the best ways to adapt these stories.
These novels have very different approaches to pacing and world building. Could you tell us about how your process changed in the shift from adapting Kindred to Parable?
Kindred is actually about 750 or so Sharpie marker drawings. It's done in Sharpie, like by hand, and colored digitally. I wanted to use a medium that was really brutal and difficult to use because I was thinking about the affect of the story. And and don't get me wrong, I get like a lot of seriously negative thoughts about what could happen, you know, in our own society when I look at something like Parable of the Sower. But when you figure out that Dana is like time traveling, you know, to this slave plantation and her not knowing when that's going to happen, it was gut-wrenching to me. I felt like in some ways, when I was working on Kindred, I was like I was enslaved by the story, you know. It was really a very trippy situation because I was just working on it constantly. It was just so much work, and you know, in a very small amount of time. There's a couple of times when we had to drive to Chicago, and I was literally drawing the entire time in my lap, like you know, in the car. You know? So it was like being like chained to a story, you know. Whereas with Parable, as Damien said, there's a shift in like production, and then also I shifted from doing analog, you know, traditional drawing to digital drawing. So the entire book is drawn on the iPad and colored on the iPad. You know, so that was a very interesting. That actually made it a lot better because I wasn't as separated from the family. You know, because when you're working on something by hand, you know, you're in the studio, there's like fumes coming from the studio. It's kind of
from the Sharpies.
From the Sharpies.
Fumes from the Sharpies.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Anyway, so it was a very different process.
Yeah, there were definitely less all night work sessions with yep. Parable of the Sower. I think I actually got at least like a few hours of sleep towards the end there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's an improvement.
Yeah, and sleep is good.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Women, specifically Black women, are at the center of both of these stories. When you're working on these adaptations and these characters are already sort of presented to you, do you color these characters with any of the women in your own life, heroines that you look up to, or female characters that you've created in your other work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely some of that. Like, for instance, honestly, like, we kind of thought about Dana being an analog for Octavia Butler. Actually, to a certain degree. I mean, it's
because she's Dana is a writer, mm-hmm. and because there's a part of Kindred where she talks about the terrible day jobs she had to work before becoming being able to live off her writing.
Right.
And that's one of the closest things you get to like autobiography from Octavia Butler because those events were her real life?
Lauren Olamina in Parable is a little bit modeled after M. Osley Dukan, who's a friend of mine who's a documentary filmmaker. She works in like speculative fiction and such. And so, yeah, so when I was thinking about like, what would be a cool like model, you know, hairstyle and things of that nature, that I've styled her after a little bit. So that was pretty cool.
I will say, because like both Dana and Lauren take on these teaching roles a lot, that always made me think of my mom because she was a Chicago public school teacher for 20 some odd years. And like, not that it really makes it into the story because it's Octavia Butler's words, but just in some of the visualizations and stuff, I thought you really captured the frustration I remember her having coming home from work. Like, that was real,
that.
Where she's just like, oh, God, like the weight of the world.
Yeah.
Also my mom's from, like, a big family, so the Olamina family in Parable of the Sower kind of made me think of stories she had told me about growing up with a bunch of siblings.
That's pretty cool.
Another thing that's kind of interesting is that we're talking about two stories that are really very much centered around trauma, you know? And so I'm kind of curious about what it's like to be writing stories centered around trauma as you're channeling and creating characters that are both connected to Octavia Butler's work, but also connected to people in your life.
I mean, I think to a certain extent, actually, I'm just thinking this now, but I've realized a lot of the stories we tell about working on these books are all sort of based in our own physical and mental traumas while working through the stories about trauma.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a sense of embodying the story that, you know, we do our best to take on in working on it, and that can definitely involve you in the trauma, I think.
Yeah. I keep talking about this, but it's like one of the scenes that really messed me up when I was working on it was the whipping scene in Kindred when Dana has time traveled back to this, like, into the slave plantation in Maryland. And she's now fearing for her life, and she's listening to, you know, an ancestor, you know, be whipped, you know, and she's hiding in the bushes. And it's just like descriptions of it is just so... It's so well done, but also it's visceral and powerful. And, you know, like I said, found myself weeping onto the drawings that I was making because I was actually, you know, just trying to capture it, you know.
What is it about horror that fascinates you as something to bring about through storytelling and to bring about social commentary, whether it's stories of the future or stories that take place in the present or in the past?
That's a good question.
I mean, one is we're both big fans of horror, but also we both feel and acknowledge right away that if you're discussing like race, gender, sociopolitics in the U.S. in our case, it's a horror show.
It really is.
Like, it's the most well-positioned genre to discuss these topics, I feel like, because it cuts to the heart of the trauma and pain and unhealed wrongs of the past that characterize so much of our daily interactions.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's one of the reasons why myself and cultural anthropologist Stanford Carpenter came up with this term, the ethnogothic, which, you know, deals with the kind of like juxtaposition of the Gothic as a you know, as a aesthetic and as an effective kind of aspect of literature and culture with Black experiences. So the idea of African-American, you know, experiences in dealing with race and oppression and what have you, and how, like, through horror and through, like, those types of storytelling mechanisms, you can actually kind of talk about those issues, give them a shape, and hopefully, like, reify them, destroy them, and move forward into a better space.
You can find more information about the Kindred and Parable of the Sower graphic novels at the Abrams Comic Arts website. Go to www.abramscomicarts.com. I'm Sienna Greaves for WYPR. Thanks for listening.